Today is taken out of the book of Exodus. We stopped last week in the first chapter speaking to you about how that the Israelites were brought into bondage and how that the Egyptians made them serve with rigor, that they were slaves in this country and they had to do many things contrary to what they wanted to do. They were forced to build the various pyramids, I said. They also were forced to make a canal from the River Nile to another delta so that that particular ground would be fertile. These Israelites then were under the cruel taskmasters set over them by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now this king Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Whenever the Church of Christ begins to multiply, it is usually in a time of persecution. And these people were being persecuted. And the more that they were persecuted, the more that they multiplied and grew. In these times in which we live, my hearers, there is not much persecution. Not especially in our land. We have liberty of religion. But in other territories in the world, there is persecution. And now we see in this, as I said last week, how different it can become with a country and with people. It may be that God gives us an era of prosperity. The Israelites had it very good in Egypt for a while, especially under the time of Joseph, and even after that. But there arose another king who knew not Joseph, and he began to treat them very cruelly. Things happen in our lives too, my hearers. It may go good with us for a long time. You may have prosperity. God may give you children, and God may give you a wife, and you may be married, and you may have it very good for a long time. But there comes a time like with the Israelites. Then God comes and takes away sometimes a child, he takes away your partner in life, and things aren't the same anymore. Sometimes God visits a nation and he brings a war upon it. And when God does this, my hearers, then the other nation prevails. And then we find that all our prosperity and all the good things that we had are taken away from us and we are in subjection to the power that is over us. I said to you last week, this has happened in many a country with Russia. And poor people, they are slaves to these Russians and they have to do as they tell them to do. I ended with, let us pray that it'll never come upon us, which we most righteously deserve. And now while this was going on, these people multiplying, and this king seeing that nothing was being done about it, he decided in another course. He came and he spake unto the midwives that treated these Israelitish women when they were giving birth to their children. The name of the one was Shiphrah and the other one was Puah. And he entreated them that whenever they administered to these Israelitish women and they were giving birth to children, if it was a son, they should kill it. If it was a daughter, it should remain alive. But what a murderous command this king gave unto these midwives. In all probability, these two midwives were the heads of many other midwives that treated these Israelitish women. And now these Israelitish women, they labored excessively in the field and in many other ways. And according to the commentary, when they did give birth, they were very lively. They were delivered even before the midwives got to them. The Egyptians, they were women that were very slow in giving birth. And now this king, seeing that it wasn't going as he had commanded. Now these midwives, they feared God, and they would not obey the command of this king. They had more respect unto God and to his command than they did to the king's commandment. And therefore, they let the men children live. And now this king saw this taking place, and he called the midwives to account. And he wanted to know why that there were so many men children still alive. Well, they said these Israelitish women are very lively. They give birth before we get to them. Some people think that these midwives told a lie when they said this. They did not. This was the truth. It is true. They didn't come out for what they had in their hearts. They feared God. They didn't say to the king, well, we fear God, we're not going to do your commandment. We find the three young men, when they were commanded by a king to worship the idol that he had set up, they refused to do so. They told him point blank that they weren't going to do so. Now, there's wisdom necessary in many cases, especially when our lives are concerned. But these midwives, they feared God. Regardless of what the king was going to do to them, they weren't going to kill these men children. My hearers, what would you have done if you were in the place of those midwives? Let me ask you another question. What do you do yet? Do you obey God or do you obey man? Are you afraid of the wrath of man or the wrath of God? Answer yourself that question. I am sure many must say how guilty I am that I fear man. God has given us a commandment, and man comes along with another commandment. And what do? We trample upon God's commandment. We don't give heed to God. Why? Why, because we're going to be laughed at. We're going to be ridiculed. People are going to put the finger on us. And rather than have people despise us and reject us, we trample upon the commandment of God. And why do we do this? There are many reasons why. Sometimes for money, sometimes to gain the favor of someone else, so that we may get ahead in the world. My hearers, I would advise you at all times to give heed unto the command of God. All be faithful unto him, and you will find that he will reward you. Did he not reward these two midwives for what they were doing? He most certainly did. Now, this fear that these midwives had in their souls kept them from much sin, kept them from this particular sin of murdering. Oh, what a blessing if this fear of God has been planted in our hearts. It is when grace enters into our souls that this fear of God comes in likewise. And this is a reverential fear. This isn't a dread. This isn't in something like a slavish fear, no. Oh, it's a fear that's mingled with love. A fear that leads us to obey God and give heed unto his word and to his testimonies. Oh, my hearers, may you pray and ask God to plant this fear in your heart. It'll keep you from much evil. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all true wisdom, and by the fear of God we depart from evil. And now these midwives, they did good then in not obeying the king's commandment. And because they did good, God rewarded them. He builded houses for them. When you read this, you would think, well, God must have come down and started building for them. No, that isn't what it meant. It meant that these midwives, they likewise were given husbands, and they likewise were given to have children, and they received families. He builded their families, and he blessed them, and he gave them prosperity. And now when the king saw that this commandment did not succeed, then he gave another commandment. He commanded all his people, whenever they seen a child born unto the Israelitish people, and it was a man-child, they should cast it into the river. You would say, how is it possible that a person, a king, could give such a commandment? What tyrants they were, what power they had in those days. And if they did not obey, they would suffer the wrath of the king. And now you may be sure, my hearers, that there were many spies, and there were many people that were watching to see wherever there was a child born. You may be sure too that Pharaoh, he gave his people a reward. He offered them probably money if they would disclose wherever a child was born that was a male child, so that they could dispose of it. And now this king, in doing this, my hearers, was a type of the other Pharaoh that reigned when Christ was to be born. Here it seems that the devil was already busy. The devil knows more than you and I, my hearers. And he knew that God was going to raise up a deliverer for these people. He also knew that out of these people would come the great deliverer, Jesus Christ. And now he tried his utmost to destroy the church of Christ in its infancy. This is what the devil aimed at. And he used this king, Pharaoh, for this purpose. And now these poor people, the Israelites, and you may be sure that they tried to conceal the children when they were born. I could appeal to you, mothers. Suppose you were in that condition, you were going to have a child. I think you would pray to God that it would be a daughter instead of a man, for fear that if it was a male child, you would have to give it over and throw it into the river. And according to the commentary, he says that many of the poor Israelitish women had their children taken right out of their arms, torn from them by these instruments that Pharaoh used, and they cast them into the river. How awful it must have been for a mother to see this taking place. This was now the bondage. This now was the trouble that Israel was in the land of Egypt. And now in the midst of all this, my hearers, God in his infinite mercy, he had a plan to save these people and to bring them out of their bondage. And in the next chapter we read that there was a certain man of the tribe of Levi, and he was married to a woman of the same tribe, and they gave birth, she gave birth unto a son. This man's name was Amram, and his wife's name was Jochebed. These people, they then had a child born to them. And now this child, according to Scripture, was a goodly child. It was a fair-looking child. It was a beautiful-looking child. We read this in the Acts of the Apostles in the 7th chapter, where Stephen is repeating unto the Israelites the history of his nation. And he speaks about Moses when he was born, that he was very fair. Likewise, Paul speaks about Moses in Hebrews 11, that his parents saw that he was a goodly child, and by faith they hid him 3 months. They concealed him somewheres in one of the apartments of their house, and they nourished him and fed him. By faith they did this, my hearers. These people, they must have seen something in this child already. They must have been given by divine inspiration and put it into their heart to do this, what they did. And it says, they feared not the king's commandment. They feared God. They knew that the child's life was in the hands of God. Now these people, they had 2 other children. They had a son that was older than Moses, and his name was Aaron. He was only 3 years of age. They likewise had a daughter called Miriam. According to the commentary, she should have been about 10 or 12 years of age at this time when Moses was born. So they had 3 children. These other 2 children weren't under this commandment of the king. At this present time, the children were just being born, and they were being slain and thrown into the river. But now they hid this child. But of course it grew, and they couldn't keep concealing the child, and maybe their faith got weak likewise. And then they decided on another way. they decided that they would give this child over into the hands of God. They knew it was under the providence of God that they had received this child, and it was God's willing way to take the child away, it would be done. But they went and they took and made a little ark for this child. They made it out of bulrushes, it says, and they cemented it with pitch and with slime. These bulrushes was a plant that grew along the river's edge. According to the commentary, it grew sometimes 12, 14 feet. And these bulrushes, they were used by the Egyptians to make small sailing vessels. They were very elastic, and they could weave them in between each other, and in that way, they made like a little sailing vessel for one person to sit in. Then when they traveled on a river and they came to a dry spot in it, they could pick it up and carry it to a place where it was deeper again. They likewise used this bulrush plant to make materials to write on, some sort of paper. The inside of this bulrush plant was used for food. People ate it. And now they took slime. You know that when these people were building the Tower of Babel, they likewise used slime for mortar, and they cemented the rocks that they were using to build this tower. This likewise was used in this here little ark. They put this pitch, this slime, it's called bitumen, and they cemented the bottom of it, and they made it watertight, and then they put their little child, 3 months old, in this little ark. And she placed it in between the flags by the river's edge. These flags are something like you see when you go riding sometimes. You see these punks growing down the meadows. They're called flags. And now they placed Miriam, the boy's sister, right near the spot where they had placed this ark with the child in it. And now we find in the providence of God that the daughter of Pharaoh came down to the river to wash herself. And she came down with her maidens. And as they were walking alongside of the river, they spotted this little ark. And Pharaoh's daughter commanded one of her maids to go to it and bring it to her. And they brought it to her, and she lifted up the lid, and there lay a little child in that ark. And when she seen that child and it began to cry, it so affected her that she had pity and compassion upon that child. How wonderful was the providence of God over this child, my hearers. This already was a child of God. According to the commentary, Moses must have been sanctified from the womb. You don't read of Moses being born again. From his birth, God had entered into his soul with his Holy Spirit. And he was one of God's dear children. And God took special care of him. God seen to it that this daughter of the king came down and found him in this little ark. And she, filled with love and affection towards this babe already,